Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Father God, thank you for loving us. And we pray right now that you would accept this worship, not because we're worthy, but because you are, because you've called us. You've called us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Father, you've called us to see you as you are, high and lifted up and holy. Thank you for accepting praise from an unworthy choir. But if we have anything, it's because you've given it to us. You've made us fit for your kingdom through Christ. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And we give you all the praise right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You. Oh, Wherever you are, cry out.
Wasn't that good? It's better than it was perfect. Y'all don't know how amazing it is to me as the preacher. We don't coordinate with the band because we don't coordinate with anything because we're not coordinated. Which means someone behind the scenes, someone on a higher pay grade, you get who I'm talking about, right? Somebody's orchestrating these things so that the message and the worship work out in tune. And it did so perfectly today, and I'm so thankful for God doing those things. I see a lot of folks out here, friends, and haven't seen in a while, and guests, and just want to say, God bless y'all. Welcome. So glad that you're here. Glad to see y'all here. And glad that you got to witness that. Because that's something you just, to me, it's just something you witness when God shows up during the worship time at church. And it don't have to be prompted. It doesn't have to be forced or cajoled. It just is God moving. Isn't that something? And I don't know. I'd say I don't mean to put them on the spot, but I'm going to put them on the spot because I don't know if you comprehend how much bravery it took and courage for Ron Edwards to sing that song he sang, Cry Out to Jesus. I don't know if you understand. I know. Anyways, I love you. And sometimes we sing a song, or sometimes there's a message comes up and it just grabs you by the heart. And I know that's one for him. And I know for him to use that and to sing, to praise God, to say it's more important to praise God with that at the moment. That's tough. That's Jesus kind of tough. And I'm just telling you, it's awesome. It's good stuff. All right, Nani's class, Nani, Miss Debbie Gwen's class, ready, break. I don't know if they might have already broke. They're already broken. They've already broke. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5. There is a series that I'm preaching through in the book of 1 Corinthians that we've put on hold. The very next chapter we're going to get to is finishing out chapter 11. I encourage you to go read chapter 11, especially the first half of that chapter. You might figure out why it's been on hold for a minute, but we're going to get back to it, I promise, because God wants us to know about the rest of the things in that book. But we're going to pick up in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians in September. We're going to keep preaching just in the same vein we've been preaching on. And we've been talking about how to be saved. And we've been watching God do awesome things in our church. And I just want us to be aware of how cool of a season we're in. There's a song going out right now, and I don't know who it's by. I hear it. I don't hear it real good right now, but I hear it on the radio. I don't know if it's Pitbulls or Florida or whoever. I don't got no idea. But it says something like this. I wish somebody would have told us this was the good days. Y'all know the song I'm talking about? Who does that one? All right, some nameless artist out there threw this music out. But it says, man, I wish somebody would have told us these were the good times. These were the good days. And I want to tell you, we're going to answer a question that they ask in the book of Mark here about who's doing this and who is this powerful person among us and how all these good things happen. And I'm going to tell you something. The things that we've seen at Christ Community Church lately, I'm going to tell you, we are in a good season. We're in the midst of good things. We're watching God do something miraculous. And you know what? We ought to praise Him in it. And I know sometimes we can get caught up and life's happening and things are happening and even though God's doing good things, it seems like, yeah, but, you know, I still gotta focus here, or I still need to worry about this, and I still need to focus on that. That's all well and good. We got our lives. I got you. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. Especially some of you faithful folks who have prayed that God would do a move, that God would do something. God do something. God move in the midst of our church. God save some folks. Rescue people. Pull them out of lostness. Pull them out of addiction. Pull them out of hopelessness and homelessness. Do work. Y'all, we're seeing it. Who's doing it? Who's doing it? We're going to talk about it. In the book of Mark, all the way up through chapter 5, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, they're showing Jesus do powerful, powerful things. He casts out demons in chapter 1. He cleanses a leopard. It's spotless. I meant to say leper. He cleansed the leper. Nobody had seen that before. He healed the paralytic man in chapter 2. He's calling sinners out. He's doing all kinds of things. He's calming the storm in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, the very last verse, they ask this question. They were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this?" And in chapter 5, which I'm going to read in its entirety, which means I'm going to read for a bit, and you're going to listen for a bit. So put your patience on. He's going to answer that question, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey? But we're going to find out everything is going to obey him. At the end, we'll answer that question. So who is this that even the winds and the waves obey? Chapter 5, verse 1, going all the way to the end. This is what the Word of God says. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out, and he'd cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pig was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, said, "Send us into the pigs. Allow us to enter into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her, that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you?" His disciples answered, "And yet you can say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the home of Jairus, the synagogue leader, said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the son of James, or the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him. He put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. He went in where the child was. He took her by the hand, and he said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl sat up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us, and I pray that as we hear your word, we've heard it, that you'd begin doing your work. There's folks here who need to be healed. There's folks here who need to be saved out of bondage. There's folks here who need to not be afraid, but only believe for the impossible things that you want to do in their life. There's folks here who are suffering with the loss of loved ones, and they need to know that you know how to raise the dead and bring believers home to you. Father, there's a lot of hurts in our world and even in the church right now today. We're coming to you and we're asking, in the powerful name of Jesus, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd glorify yourself in healing and saving. It's your work, your power, your will, and we ask that it be done here. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey? Who is this that even legions of demons obey? Who is this that a woman's body, diseased and broken, obeys? Who is this that even the dead will rise at the call of his voice? Who is it? It's Jesus, the powerful one. That's who it is. Isn't it him? Is there anybody else? I mean, at this point, if we're doing a job interview, does anybody else have this resume that Jesus has in Mark chapter 5? It's a beautiful thing. It's almost just to drive the point home. Y'all need a Savior, and I'm going to show you the only one, the powerful one, Jesus, the Son of God. And there is no other. No other like him, no other near him. He is one of a kind. And he came to save us. Y'all, it's an awesome thing. Can I tell you something about him? He doesn't change. We're going to look at some of these accounts a little bit closer and look at what he did in that time. But I want us to be thinking, what's he doing in our time? What's he doing now? If he did this then, what do you reckon he's doing now? Can I tell you, it was to the benefit of the whole world that Christ left earth. He died for us on the cross. He's buried in the tomb. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And you know what happened? What happened on that day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit of God descended, and the work of Jesus Christ continued throughout the world. During the Gospels, he lived in Israel. He was doing things there like what we're going to read about. But can I tell you now? Through the Spirit of God, where is he working? It's a ridiculous question, isn't it? It's a lot easier to say, where isn't he working? Where isn't he working? Somebody might, he's not working in Antarctica. Oh, yes, he is. There's chapels in Antarctica, too. I'm telling you, where there's people, there's sin and there's disease, and our Savior is working. He's not working in space. He's on the space station. If there's people, he's working. His creation, he's the Savior of all mankind. Where isn't he working? He's awesome. He's Jesus, the powerful one. And this is my prayer. My prayer today is that we will come in a very honest way to say, I need him working in my life. I need him working in the life of somebody I know who's bound up. I need him working in the life of somebody I know who's sick and just needs him. And I need them to work in those impossible situations. That situation when the man's daughter died. I can't think of anything more impossible. But I remember what the angels told Mary when Jesus was going to be born. She said, "How can this be?" He said, "With God, nothing will be impossible." Oh, we need to come to see our Savior and just have a big, big picture and say, "Yeah, that's Him. Jesus, the powerful one." Now, I tried to think if I could find where it says Jesus the powerful, because it sounds like a medieval term for like a, you know, some kind of European dictator or something like that. These, you know, Vigo, the destroyer, Jesus the powerful, you know, or like a wrestling match or something. And I don't know where it just says Jesus the powerful, but I know, again, in the Gospel of Mark, over and over again, it says in power. And power. And He has the power to forgive sins. And He has the power to cleanse leprosy. And He has the power to cast out demons. And He has the power to stop the wind and the waves. He has power. So that's kind of where I want us to focus, at Jesus, the powerful one. Now, in the book of Revelation, He is called the Lord God Almighty. And that word Almighty is pretty close to powerful. Okay? So I don't want anybody saying, "I don't know if powerful is a title we ought to..." Man, He lives it up. He fills it up. He is powerful. He's willing and He's able to help and to save us. Do y'all get that? Willing and able. A lot of big-hearted folks want to help people, but they're not able. Wouldn't you help more people if you could? Haven't y'all prayed some kind of prayer? "If you just gave me a bunch of money, Lord, I'll give it all away." He's like, "What are you going to do with your money?" "Well, I ain't got enough now to give it all away." You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. We're big-hearted, but we're not always able to do what we want, right? Especially for loved ones. I want y'all to think about these three scenarios. The man who was demon-possessed, the whole town knew about him. Don't you reckon there's people praying for him? Reckon the Decapolis, that means 10 cities. Don't you reckon somebody, some folks, were praying, "I hope that poor soul gets saved, gets well, gets healed"? The woman had an issue of blood. She had a sickness for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors. Do you reckon she spent any of her time praying? Reckon she had family praying for her? Yeah, they're interceding. And how would you pray? This is one of those things that hits you. You know, my oldest daughter is 12 years old. And how would I pray if her life was in the balance? How would you pray? How fervently would you seek after God to say, "Save my little daughter. Come and heal her before she dies"? There's a lot of prayer going. When Jesus walked into this scenario, y'all don't think about it as just another day, just haphazardly, just calendar day flipped, and He just walked up in there. He went across. He went across that lake that day to find that dude and answer a prayer. He was walking to that house to do the impossible, and that lady met Him and answer a prayer. And I'm going to challenge you. You want to see Jesus, the powerful one, at work? Get praying. Be praying. Say, "Lord, help us. Lord, help those who are bound up and can't help it." Let's look at that guy first. This guy was possessed by demons, and I believe demons still possess people today. And I ain't trying to make light of that. But I'm going to tell you something that I see on a daily basis possess people. And there's legion. It has to do with addiction. Legion. Legion means 10,000. It's a huge number of troops. And there's such a variety of ways that human beings fall into addiction, whether it be drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or food or people-pleasing or comfort. Whatever your addiction, whatever it is that you can't get out of, we can watch people in our time be destroyed by it. We can watch as people go into rehabs and out of rehabs. Into rehabs and out of rehabs. And the chains, it ain't working. They're still prisoner. Haven't we seen that? That was you. And God gave you the ability to testify about that the other day when you were baptized. That was you. Was that anybody else? Have you run into Jesus, the powerful one? Have you found out that not only can He cast out demons, but He's pretty good with addictions too? Can I tell you? He's got the power. He can do it. Y'all, we all face different things that can control us and that can fence us in. You know how you know it's an addiction? Look at this guy. First, Everybody's trying to help him. I imagine when he first started, he probably tried to convince people he didn't need any help. Come on. I don't need any help. I just get a little crazy and I run around the tombs. It's okay. After a while, you know, they said, look, if you ain't going to help you, we're going to have an intervention. That's what the chains, they chained them up. They tried to help them. We're going to have an intervention. We're going to do this for you. Still didn't work. He burns every bridge. After a while, you get the idea that he's this isolated night and day among the tombs, in the hills. He's crying out. He's isolated. Nobody wants anything to do with him anymore. He's just out there on his own. And last but not least, the greatest sign of it is that what he's doing is hurting himself. It says he's cutting himself with stones. He's hurting himself. Whatever you get addicted to, it hurts you. I mean, it hurts other people too, but the main thing is it just hurts you. It's like you're going to get mad at somebody and hurt yourself in response. This guy, who is going to help this guy? Think about the people in your life you might think of. Who's going to help them? Maybe you know someone, you've exhausted every resource that you can think of. Who's going to help them? Really? You got to come to a point where there's only one left. I mean, sometimes we run through every option. There's only one left. And it's got to be him. It's got to be him. It's got to be Jesus, the powerful one. And that's what he did for this guy. Can I tell you when we pray for those in addiction, I always pray, save them from the short road they're on. Because addiction's a short road. In other words, it ends quick. It's a short life. Okay? And I'm going to tell you why. Because addiction, just like demons, have the same thing in mind. They want to steal, they want to kill, they want to destroy. What happened to the pigs as soon as the demons got into them? What'd they do? They killed themselves. It says they ran off into the lake and drowned. Now, it don't usually happen that quick to us. It can. It doesn't usually, because we're a little bit smarter than pigs. Right? We got that much on them. Pigs are a pretty smart animal. But I always said, people say this, I'm sorry, I got to say this in my brain now. You know how sometimes people say, pigs are smarter than dogs. You ever hear that? Never heard that? I've heard that. But I don't agree at all. Because think about it. Dogs have figured out in America how to get themselves off the menu, but pigs hadn't. You know what I'm saying? Hey, there's something. If there's a really smart animal, they'd come up with that eyes like the puppy dog eyes or something. They would do something. Because people see a pig now, they just think, I'm going to eat you. They see a dog, and so you're like, oh, that poor dog. Dogs are a much smarter animal than pigs. I'm just saying, that just settles that. That is right on. I'm sorry, it was right on, but it was off. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus saves. We've seen that in this season that we're in. We've seen people saved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. We've seen eyes open. We've seen addictions crushed down. We've seen people freed. We've seen God do miraculous things. We ought to give him praise. And we ought to say, we know who it is. It's Jesus the powerful. Can I get a witness? Yes. Amen. Thank you. Next is the healing. It's the healing. Y'all, Mike prayed for me to be healed today. I was in the church in Winona earlier today, and we brought two of the leaders had been diagnosed with pretty aggressive cancer. And what they told me, and this is, they told very soberly, they said it's a 50-50 is what, in the 5 years, their five-year prognosis is that with what they have, half the people are there in 5 years, half aren't. With the treatment. There's a need for healing all over the place. And so we gathered up and we just prayed. And we prayed for them that God would heal them. But y'all, I'm going to tell you, God uses healing. God uses healing to show us who he is, to show us that he's created us, show us that he loves us, show us that He's in control. He uses us as a platform to spread His word. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not too picky. If God heals me through medicine, amen. If God heals me through miracle, amen. If He uses both, amen. Are y'all with me on that? I don't know about y'all. Y'all might think, well, you know, this medicine, man. If it works on the human body, I can tell you who gave it the okay. The manufacturer. Man, we all just say, thank you, Lord, for healing. But think about how distraught this woman would have been after 12 years of growing worse, not better. I've had experience, just a fraction of an experience, walking with people who have taken care of their loved ones who are chronically ill. You have a lot. I walked, well, you had the experience, and I just got to walk by your side a little. You know how tough it is to be down in your body, to be sick and not be able to carry on, to run out of money? How do y'all feel when you run out of money? I mean, it's bad enough being sick, but how many times does a medical crisis become a financial crisis? Man, I know of cases of that happening all the time. And how disheartening is it when you feel like, I've spent all I have, I'm not getting better, and there's no hope? How desperate do you get at night when it's by yourself and you're just thinking, why am I here? Where's my hope? Where's the light? Is God watching? And you can start to give up. I bet you this lady had given up in 12 years. I bet you she had given up a bunch of times. And she just... But she woke up the next day. She got up and she put one foot in front of another and she started going out. And then she heard about somebody. See, Jesus had only been on the scene. His whole ministry wasn't but 3 years long. She'd been fighting this for 12 years. So all of a sudden she heard about somebody who was different. She heard about somebody who could give her some hope. She found out He was coming through her town. And she decided to reach out to Him in faith. And she got what she was looking for. You know how awesome, powerful Jesus is? He didn't have to work up the miracle. He didn't have to rub the miracle generating pad, you know, like they do clear and they do the, what are those pads called when they bop somebody? Defibrillators. Thank you. I had to ask my medical personnel. He don't have to get the miracle clear. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to pray and fast on it or anything. He didn't even know that lady was going to touch him in the crowd. He wasn't sure what was going on. But you know what? Jesus is powerful. Reach out to Him. She just said, if I could just touch him, it'd be okay. She didn't have to submit, go through the personnel committee of heaven. I'm wondering if I can get a miracle appropriated to me sometime soon. Seems I've been doing this a long time and I just need... Man, she just figured out, I'm going to put faith in that guy who's healing people, who the wind and the waves obey, who the leprosy leaves, who paralysis leaves, who demons leave. I want to touch him and see if this leaves. And she touched him and it left. Isn't that good? Now, you might say, man, I've called out to Him. I've done all these things. I just want to tell you, continue on. Keep on. He's our only one. He's our only one. But He's one we have. Y'all get me? He's the only one. But He makes Himself available to us. Call on Him. Reach out to Him. You might say, it didn't happen when I wanted. Well, He's God, you know. He's got plans. Sometimes His plan is for you to carry that a bit. I don't know why. What if He would have came? What if Jesus' whole ministry had been 9 years before it was? He could have caught this woman at the beginning of her disease, not at the end. Jesus one time was asked, who sinned? The blind man or the parents of the blind man? And Jesus said, neither. But this happened to him that God's glory might be manifest through his situation. If God doesn't heal you immediately, all I can say is this, you hold on. You keep praying. You keep reaching out because God wants to get glory in your situation. He really does. He really does. And He's the powerful one. He can do it. There's people who probably need healing in this room, and there's people who know of people who need healing that they need to ask for. The last case scenario here is the worst case scenario in the sense that it seems so impossible. They're going to heal this young girl. She's 12 years old. She's active. You can imagine she's just like any other 12-year-old. But she gets sick. Probably at first didn't seem bad, but then it just kind of got worse. And the best they could do, they probably exhausted. Do you reckon they exhausted everything they could before they came to Jesus? Like, I've had an earache for a week, and I haven't gone to the doctor, and I've squished everything I know to squish in my ear. I've poked at it, prodded. I've tried to yawn it out. I've tried to do this thing where you cup your ear and create a vacuum and pull it off, and then some of the stuff dribbles out. I'm doing everything, but I've exhausted it. I'm finally going to go to the doctor tomorrow, you know. I'm going to go get help. I'm like, that's it. I've done it. Something tells me Jairus was probably a man just like that. Stubborn, dim-witted, just like me. But he got desperate because it was his kid. It was his daughter. And he said, that's it, man. I don't care if I look dignified or not. You know what? Here it was. He was the pastor of the synagogue. He was one of the leaders in the synagogue. But he was just like that woman with blood, and he was just like that man with demons on his knees in front of Jesus saying, help me, please. God had gotten to that point. Jesus is going to help him. And they say, she's gone, man. She's gone. I don't know how that would hit you. I don't know what you think you would do in that moment. I hope you never find out. But I imagine you go in some kind of shock, some kind of disbelief, some kind of anger. But I want to tell you something about our Lord Jesus. He ain't waiting for people to tell him what's going on. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to tell. He said, don't you worry. Don't you worry. I bet you they were asking him right then, who do you think you are? Who is this that tells a grieving dad not to grieve his daughter's death? He said, don't worry. Don't be afraid, just believe. That's his exact message. Verse 36. Don't be afraid, just believe. Okay, gritted teeth, I imagine. Tears. Okay, because I don't see how this could work. I don't see how this could turn out for the good. I don't see how this could be possible. I don't see, you know, we don't see all these things and we get all worried, but Jesus said, just come on. And he just grabs her by the hand. And Talitha is a pet name. It's like saying, little girl lamb, little lammy, little girl lamb, arise. Little girl lamb, arise. He spoke to her sweet, and she arose. And I don't know how y'all would be, but ecstatic. Now look, I've been amongst loved ones who have just passed. And I prayed, Jesus, raise them. Jesus, call them back. And he didn't. But I believe he's got them. Just because we don't get them back doesn't mean that he don't got them. I'm going to tell you something. It might seem for us impossible to believe that sometimes those things are for the better that they don't come. That God doesn't give them back to us. But I promise, God has our good and his glory in mind. But I know this, whatever impossible loss you might be facing or have faced, he's the one who can get you through it. He's the one who can get you through it. Now I believe he still raises the dead. You might say, how does he do it? He does it. He doesn't do it when he's not done it when I've asked. But I know that he can. And I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with Him, which makes me not afraid of the time when He's going to call me to Him. It's impossible. Some might think impossible to face death and the loss with an attitude of faith and hope and light. But I'm going to tell you, in Christ, with Jesus the powerful one, it's not impossible. We can do it. We can go forward with a hope in Christ. We can hold out a hope. My grandmother last year passed away. And for the last 8 months of her life, she was in an altered mental state because she had a combination. She had Lewy body dementia, which is Alzheimer's and Parkinson's mixed. And it's like the worst case scenario. It's the same stuff that Robin Williams got diagnosed with before he took his life. It's bad. It's bad. Before she got into an altered state, when she was in her right mind, she was hostile toward God. She had got hurt by a church full of religious tradition stuff that told her because she was divorced, she wasn't no good. I'd like to say something to those folks if I could. That was about 2 years after I was born that happened, and she walked away from the church and supposed that church really did represent God, and she walked away in her mind and her heart from God and became hostile to God, became hostile to anybody who would try to talk to her about God. And when I got saved and became a preacher, she was very disappointed. She still loved me, but she wouldn't talk to me about these things. All the way through to the last months of her life. In the last months of her life, she just lost the ability to interact with those around. She started hallucinating. She just wasn't there anymore. For the last month, she literally wasn't there, wasn't able to communicate outside of expressing pain, crying out. And then she died. And I had the privilege of speaking at her service. As I thought about it, everything that I've been taught, everything that I know, I look and I say, this is a lost person. As far as I know, that's it. That's all I can know. But God gave me a hope. And this is what He reminded me. He can reach people we can't reach. I don't save nobody anyhow. I'd like to see my loved ones to get saved and make a public profession of faith. And there just became a time when my grandmother was beyond the reach of rational thought and speaking. But she wasn't beyond God's reach. And so, although I don't know about her eternal destiny, I don't know. I know if God didn't reach her and she didn't change, I know where it would be. Because even for my loved ones and yours alike, there's a sure enough hell and there's a sure enough heaven. But I know this, I hold out hope for the God who can do the impossible, for Jesus the powerful one. I believe that even though I couldn't speak with her, He could. And who knows that she needed to get out of her mind in order to get into His grace. I don't know. All I know is this, I believe in a God who raises the dead, who casts out demons, who saves addicts, who answers prayer, who rises up the deaf, the lame, and the mute, and every other thing. I believe in a God who can. I believe in a God who will. I believe in the God who does. And it gives me hope. Even when I think through my loved ones in that worst case scenario, I think to myself, I have a hope. I have a hope. He wants to save her more than I want to save her. She had the information. The knowledge of the gospel was there. It was just a matter of submitting to God. It was just a matter of acknowledging Him as Lord. Maybe she did in a conversation that they could have when she couldn't talk with anybody else. Maybe she did. I don't know. But I have a hope. Someone might say it's impossible, but not with God. Not with God. Are y'all with me? Can I tell you? The same God who did those things, He does those things today. The same God who healed the demon man, who healed the bleeding lady, who raised the dead girl. He still does things like that today. Here's the challenge for you. Will you yield your life to Him? Will you recognize that we're in a season where He's working? There's no doubt that the things that we've witnessed have the fingerprints of God all over them. Whether it's been in the youth group or whether it's been in the church, whether it's been, it's been the fingerprints of God saying, I'm working. A challenge for you today is, will you yield to Him? Will you yield to Him? Will you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I surrender. And whether it is an addiction, whether it's your addiction or not, oh, if you got somebody who you love and they're tied up in that, you're tied up too. Because your heart's breaking for them. If you know somebody who's sick and needs healing, you're tied up in that too because your heart's breaking for them. And in the impossible cases, your heart's breaking for them. My challenge is, would you yield to them and will you just pray? Pray like these folks must have been praying. Praying for healing. Praying for deliverance and salvation. Praying for a miracle. Would you pray? Let's pray now. Father God, I thank You for loving us. And Lord, there's none like You. We live in a lost, a dying, sinful world where death kicked in the door. Sin kicked in the door. Death followed. Condemnation goes along with that. And we're asking You, our holy God, You, Jesus Christ, our only Savior, do a work in our lives, but not only ours. To those that You've put around us, those who we see, that we know, that we love, help us not to give up. Help us to remember who You are, that You're Jesus, the powerful, and we have hope in You. We love You, Lord, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this time of invitation, is there music for invitation? Is there a band up there? There they are. Okay. I didn't see anybody. I was like, I'm not hearing anything. This time is for you. Maybe you got something to pray for you. Maybe you got something to bring up here for somebody else and say, Lord, help them, save them, free them. But this time's for you. Do what God's called you to do now. In Jesus' name.
God's always at work, y'all. And so don't ever think, you know, an invitation at church ends, this and that. Let me tell you something we ought to just sing hallelujah about. God doesn't just work in this little bitty time, in this little bitty building at this little bitty place, right? Amen. He's always on a job. He's always doing it. So whatever God might have started in you and spoke to you, just let him continue to do his work. One of the things he spoke to the church in Philippi says, God will be, he'll be faithful to complete what he started in you until the day of Christ Jesus. He spoke that to the church. He's going to work it out. Okay? He does that. That's how he is. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come down now for the morning offering. But if God's doing a work in you, and for y'all, just keep, let God have his way. We're going to, you know, just God, let God do it. I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for just an awesome time in you. Father, I know some of the scenarios that are being faced in this building and how impossible they seem. But I imagine every one of those people that you walked into their life in the Gospel of Mark right then thought it was impossible. But you proved them wrong. So Father, show us. Show us how mighty you are to do the impossible, to bring peace where there's hostility, to bring truth and light into darkness, to bring provision. Everything, Lord, that we might need, it comes from you. So we give you thanks, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. What an awesome day in the Lord today. Y'all, what God showed us in the Bible, that the power of Christ, man, it didn't stop. It wasn't for then only. It's for now. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still doing the impossible. Amen. We ought to be looking for it. And when we see it, like what we've had an opportunity, a season, I believe we've got to see things that a lot of people haven't. I believe we've got to see some things that people have been praying for a long time. Well, I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, okay? Tomorrow night, I know that there's two important meetings going on. I want you to consider praying for them, even if you don't go. One is we're having an Emmaus meeting for people who've been a part of the Emmaus walk, and that's going to be tomorrow. I think it's at 6 o'clock. It should be in your bulletin. Y'all, what a great ministry that we have in this local area. My sponsors are here that back in 2006 who helped me to go on it, and I've been able to serve a bunch, and y'all know. But there's a meeting for that tomorrow here at 6, and there's a meeting at 6 o'clock at Miss Carrie Sageberry's house, and she's right there. There's a meeting at your house tomorrow. Yes. We're going, and we're praying. We're praying that God will open up a Christ community in Holcomb. And I'm going to tell you, it's not important that it says Christ community as much as it is that there are people who can't go to a traditional church or won't go, they're there, and we ought not tell them they have to drive here. We ought to go, the gospel tells us to go where they are. And that's what we're doing. We're praying about it. Okay? We're praying about what God would have us to do. But we know He would have us part of making disciples and teaching people what Jesus commanded. And every time I go through that city, whether I stop at Nookie's to get some coffee or whether I'm just, I see our people, big, bearded, tatted up people that ain't got a church in that town to go to. Not that they're bad, because I know the people there and I love the pastors there. But they ain't going to go into those churches. They need a church there where everyone is welcome. You got me? Yeah. And that's what we're going to be praying about. So y'all think about that and be praying about it. I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you again. Send us out encouraged and bold in the name of Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen. Ready? Break!